Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moose Miller in tonight for Jordana Green. We've got a severe thunderstorm warning for Meeker County and Kandiyohi County tonight, so we're trying to stay on top of that for you and make sure that you get the latest and greatest weather information. Had some pretty decent severe thunderstorms that have come rolling through the area to the south of the metro. We're talking basically from Eden Prairie into Bloomington, on over into Eagan, and then down to Apple Valley, and then you head on over towards, even parts of Red Wing, where around Lake City, just to the east of Lake City, they've had some pretty intense hail that has come down in that area as well. So we're trying to, again, just pass the word on to you. There's some flood concerns for Hennepin County. Flash flood watch this evening, as there's some pretty substantial little cells that are rolling right along. Basically, a line that just kind of started over by St. Cloud and just to the south of Wilmer, Minnesota, and then on down through the southern portions of the Twin Cities. And it kind of stretches almost all the way over to just north of La Crosse, down on through Winona. And some pretty substantial rain coming down there. We're talking about rains that could be several inches in some of these cells overnight tonight. So if you're out driving around, pay attention, be aware, and don't be driving into standing water. That could be a very, very bad situation. Moose Miller in tonight for Jordana Green here on WCCO. Our next guest is with, and I hope I'm saying this right, Conversica. Is that right, Terry? Terry is with us.
It's Conversica, but very close.
Conversica. Well, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even in the ballpark. I'm more concerned about this weather stuff here in front of me. Conversica. So this story caught my eye here the other day about bots. And we should probably first have people understand what exactly is a bot. They may have heard a little bit about this during the whole Trump-Russia thing with social media feeds being taken over by bots. What's a bot?
So very simply, bot is just a short word for robot. But when used in this context, it means an automatic system that's reading or writing messages by itself without a human being typing for it. So it could be an automatic chat bot or an email bot or messaging bot of some kind.
Now, are they typically, you know, written word messaging bots, or are there actual audio spoken word bots?
Much more typically, they're text messaging bots.
Yeah. You know, now, I've actually encountered a number of these where you'll write about a problem with a product or a service that you have, and you'll go to their website, and you'll start to, it appears, have a conversation with a person helping you kind of diagnose and work your way through your problem. But that's a bot, huh?
Well, sometimes it's a person and sometimes it's a bot. So my company, Conversica, and it's in Conversica, sort of short, think of conversation or conversion. We provide artificial intelligence-based assistance for sales. And so the example you just were talking about, you might need a problem like for a customer service problem, or it could be a sales problem. And sometimes you're chatting with a real human, and sometimes you're chatting with a bot, and sometimes it's a mix. And that's the kind of thing that Conversica does, where we provide email messaging and SMS messaging in a sales assistant to help companies engage and qualify with their sales leads.
Well, yeah, I'm reading here where bots are so believable they can actually get more dates than a human being in this article on CNBC. Is that in the dating world, I guess, when you're answering about profiles and stuff like that?
Well, it's really interesting because the truth is we've spent 7 years building out our artificial intelligence-based sales assistant with over 240 million messages through our platform to train them to be very helpful and very lifelike. And, you know, we work with over 1,000 companies, and it's true that these AI assistants have message conversations with people, and sometimes they get asked out on dates, and it's not uncommon. Almost every month, in fact, they get asked on dates, and also people
hilarious.
Try to hire them away. So they are very lifelike.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about this artificial intelligence, this machine learning. When you look at the copious amounts of interactions and data on a daily, hourly basis on, you know, helplines or whatever else, you know, if you can keep up with that pile of streaming data, you're really going to have a very, very smart bot system for answering, and I would imagine, sales generating leads as well.
Moose, you're absolutely right. And one of the things about artificial intelligence software is it tends to need a lot of data to train it, just like you would train a child. It starts off really not knowing much, and as you have more and more interactions, it gets smarter and smarter. And you know, after millions and millions of these interactions, it's seen the vast majority of things that come its way, and it knows how to handle them. And so it gets smarter every day, every month.
So take me through what you guys do at Conversica with the business to help them use a bot or machine learning or artificial intelligence to improve, I would imagine, probably sales lead generation, right?
That's right. So we actually use a conversational assistant to interact with our customers' leads. We're trying to solve a really specific problem to help marketing and sales organizations be more successful. And so our flagship service, this AI sales assistant, becomes part of our customers' sales team. When I say a part of the team, meaning she has a name, she has a title, an email address, a phone number, and then using that AI technology, we'll read and write messages back and forth multiple times to contact, engage, to qualify leads, and then do a introduction or a handoff to a human salesperson to close the deal.
Wow. You know, I have a small business myself, and, you know, one of the things that I'm starting to teach myself and learn is CRM, or I think it's continuous or customer relationship management. I see a huge arena in this area for companies like yours.
You're absolutely right. So Conversica integrates with about 47 different CRM and marketing automation systems, things like, you know, Salesforce, Marketo, HubSpot, Oracle's Eloqua, you know, again, 47 and counting, Microsoft Dynamics, things like that. Because a lot of companies use some kind of CRM or customer relationship management system to keep track of all their sales and marketing leads. And Conversica plugs right in, and we take care of the messaging to engage and qualify those leads on behalf of our customers.
And you guys have also learned the best names for an AI assistant. You know, so people think they're talking to a real human being. Is it men or women? Let's start there. Who's going to be a better AI assistant when you create one? Do you set them up as a man or a woman?
So our customers get to choose their own name, and some customers choose men and some women. But one of the things that we've done is, again, with over 200 million messages through the platform, we've done a lot of testing to see what works better. And so typically a female name is going to have a higher engagement rate and a higher sales appointment setting rate by about 3 to 4%. And that actually ends up being a lot more leads through your sales funnel. And so a 3 to 4% improvement, it is a substantial improvement. So most of our customers choose a female name, but not all.
Wow. I just, this stuff has been growing exponentially just in the last couple of years here, has it not?
It really has. And if you think about it, we're taking advantage of a number of improvements in artificial technology. So the Conversica's AI sales assistant is leveraging a lot of development we've been doing really for the last 7 years. And so we've raised a lot of money from financial investors, over $50 million, and hired a number of PhD data scientists and really smart engineers from places like Amazon and Microsoft and others to help build out this technology platform that we've used to build these conversational AI assistants. And you're absolutely right that the technology improves really every day, it seems like. And so we're trying to stay at the forefront and sure. leverage the smartest algorithms.
Well, I love all of this, except that, you know, when it's used for good, that's one thing. But when it's can be used for bad, and I think we're going to find out the deeper we get into this election manipulation of stories and Facebook content and stuff like that. This stuff can be very diabolical in how it can create a situation that just isn't true, but they really continue to hammer away at people to help them fulfill their preconceived notions about things.
I think you're right. Like any technology, it's a tool that can be used for good or for bad, depending on your perspective. But what's also true is this kind of technology is not going away. And so I think your WCCO listeners, you know, they're well served to learn a little bit more about it. You have millions and millions of these automated accounts or bots on Twitter, for example. Facebook has their own artificial intelligence-based system that it's using to solve a number of problems. And this kind of technology is really only getting better over time. Conversica is a leader in conversational AI, but there are companies like us that are really pushing the boundaries of what kinds of problems we can solve with this artificial intelligence.
Well, I'm just impressed when I read here about this Toyota dealership that uses your sales assistant named Holly that you've created. And how does Holly typically work for this Curry Toyota in Watertown, Connecticut? I mean, you actually, people come into the dealership wanting to talk to Holly, who had contacted them.
That's right. And that's not an uncommon occurrence. So the way it works is we integrate with a customer, and we're typically up and running in about a week to 2 weeks. It doesn't require a lot of setup because we've already trained these AI assistants. So we're up and running in a week or two, and when leads come into your business, whether it's an auto dealership or insurance company or like a software company or really any kind of company with a marketing and sales funnel, leads come into your organization, and then your AI assistant, in this case Holly, takes up the lead and says, "Hi Moose, thanks for filling out that form asking about the Ford F-150. I want to make sure we get all your questions answered." And then she'll ask you one question. She doesn't get in a long conversation. She might say, "Hey, is this the best phone number to use for you during the day?" Or she might say, "Can my sales manager give you a call tomorrow to tell you more about it?" The whole message is designed to fit nicely on a smartphone. She's not going to write a book,
sure.
send you lots of links. She's trying to make it very easy for you to get into a very simple.
Well, and because this is not an actual person, they don't sleep. They don't take vacation. They know where they left things off, and they know to keep following up on stuff. Now, I wonder, if I just visit somebody's website, does that kind of put me in the funnel already as a potential contact that they may find my email address and try to reach out to me?
Usually not. I think there are some companies that will try to figure out who's visiting the website and then look up some information based on that. But again, we have over 1,000 companies that use us, and I'm not aware of any company that will start reaching out just because you surfed by a website.
Okay, so you kind of have to opt in.
But typically you've become a lead some way. Maybe you went to a trade show. Maybe you attended a webinar, maybe you downloaded a white paper, or maybe you signed up for the free version of a service, of a software or something, or you filled in a form on an insurance site or an education site saying, hey, tell me more about, you know, okay, that, going back to school to get my paralegal degree or whatever it might be. And then we would take it from there and we'd follow up.
Okay, well, I'm glad I created what I call my spam email account. I'm more than happy to give that one out.
Yeah,
for sure. But this stuff is only, you know, getting more refined and smarter. And, it's just amazing to me that when I see where people are actually coming into a car dealership to look for Holly, who is actually a bot, contacted them.
It's funny,
that's amazing.
Because we spend a lot of time, we work with some psychologists, we design the personality of the AI assistant to be really helpful. And again, we're trying to help those leads and those customers get the information they want and get back to them in a timely way. And it's impractical for an auto dealership to have someone working at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. But, you know, after the kids are in bed, you might want to start surfing around and looking for a car or an education or insurance. And so getting back to you quickly while you're still at your computer and you have time is really helpful to that consumer.
Sure.
And we design it to be friendly and helpful. And so it's funny that people do build up an attachment after, you know, three or four messages back and forth with Holly. And they'll come in, and sometimes they like the AI assistant better than the human salesperson who's like trying to close them on a deal. And it is funny how, people will sometimes say, I swear, I think I just talked to her on the phone, but no, you didn't. It was an email or an SMS, but it wasn't at least not a phone call at this point.
Conversica is the name of the company. Alex Terry is the CEO, and this is amazing stuff. And it's only, I think, just scratching the surface at this point. Wow. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much, Moose. I really appreciate the time, and hope all your listeners are having a great evening.
All right. We'll check in on that WCCO weather forecast for you coming up here at the bottom of the hour, including, we've got a flash flood watch for Hennepin County. We've also got some severe thunderstorms, severe thunderstorm warning for Kandi, Yohai, and Meeker counties, and we'll get the latest details on all of that stuff for you coming up here. On W. Miller in tonight for Jordana Green here on WCCO. We have a special weather statement for Hennepin County here this evening. Right around 10:20, this came out for Washington, Dakota, Hennepin, Ramsey, and Scott. A strong thunderstorm is affecting southeastern Hennepin, northwestern Dakota, northeastern Scott, southern Washington, and southern Ramsey counties. Strong thunderstorms are located over South Minneapolis or near Minneapolis, moving east at about 50 miles an hour. And that was right around 10:20 here, so just about 8 minutes ago. Winds in excess of 30 miles an hour and nickel-size hail was possible. You know, I'm wondering if anybody listening right now, 989-9226, 989-WCCO, has run into some of this stuff, especially to our south and to our east down around Red Wing and parts of Eagan here, Hastings, Apple Valley had some pretty good stuff come roaring through earlier tonight. Edina's getting hit pretty good right now. We've got reports of hail around some parts of the Twin Cities. So again, Bloomington, Eden Prairie. So this would include also St. Louis Park, Maplewood, and Shakopee. And when you're talking nickel-size hail, that starts to get me a little puckered up. Torrential rainfall also occurring with this storm. It may cause localized flooding, so don't drive your vehicle into standing water. Just not a good idea. If you happen to run into some of this weather and can help out the rest of our WCCO listeners, we would certainly appreciate that. 989-9226 is our telephone number. Lake City, Wabasha, Red Wing, Welch, Hager City, Hastings, they're all getting ready to take the brunt of a pretty good cell that is right now over Hastings that had just kind of pushed through parts of Apple Valley and Lakeville. And boy, I'll tell you, we've seen, because this ring of fire thing, I don't know if you saw that earlier today, but they were talking about really Kansas City was the epicenter of this ring of fire of heat indices that were like 108 degrees today. And then when you went out a couple hundred miles from that, right on that edge of that ring is where a lot of these storms were cranking up or could be cranking up. And that's kind of what we're seeing tonight, you know, right out on the edge of that.
Hey, Moose.
Yeah.
We got a call from a listener. Her phone is breaking up really bad because she's driving through the rain. But she said it's raining pretty good and storming pretty well in the Longfellow neighborhood.
Oh, okay. So into the South Minneapolis area here. Yeah. So, well, okay. Wow. And obviously a story that we're continuing to follow pretty closely was the shooting of the Australian woman. That was right by my old neighborhood. South Minneapolis there. I had a house on Vincent Avenue, and it's a nice area. And to see that pop back up again on the news, and you kind of, I swear I've driven by there, and who knows what's going to become of this. The latest was that, you know, obviously officers, you know, fear an ambush when they're called out to certain situations, and this could have been one of them, and it's tragic what happened here, but we just don't know all the information yet, you know, why this officer felt that threatened and had to shoot from the passenger side past his partner who was driving the vehicle, the squad. And unfortunately, killed this woman. Story
Moose?
That we're following very closely. Yeah.
I just got a call from a listener in Rosemount named Carol, and she's a weather watcher person. Mm-hmm. They got 4 inches of rain at her place between 8 and 10 p.m. in Rosemount.
Oh, my.
Wow. It's rained pretty good there, and we just got across the wire another strong thunderstorm that's located over Litchfield and moving east at 45.
That would be in Meeker County, Litchfield, mm-hmm. and that's down to our south there.
Yeah, so they've let the warning expire. However, that thunderstorm is still hanging in the air, and it's still pretty strong, and it's moving east at 45 miles per hour.
Well, for our friends in Rosemont, that's, you know, where the refinery is there, mm-hmm. the Coke refinery, and then you got Highway 52 that kind of runs you down through that area. So if mm-hmm. you're on Highway 52, you know, be careful for standing water in some of these areas because you just don't want to get yourself in a situation that could lead to a bigger problem. All right, we'll leave it at that. We'll check the rest of the WCCO weather forecast. And then, do you have a side hustle? Do you know what a side hustle is? Nearly 50 million Americans have a side hustle. Millennials have side hustles. Baby boomers have side hustles. A side hustle is a way to make some money, obviously, on the side. So who's more successful at it? Who's doing better at making money monthly on a side hustle, millennials or baby boomers? We'll answer that question with Sarah Berger from Bankrate.com. After we check in on the WCCO weather forecast, looking ahead here for the coming days and on into the weekend.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
10:42 is the time. Moose Miller in tonight for Jordana Green. Sarah Berger is with us from Bankrate.com as we talk about side hustles. Good evening and welcome.
Good to be here.
So over 44 million adults have a side hustle. Can you tell our listeners what a side hustle constitutes these days?
Sure. So a side hustle is a way to earn extra money other than your main source of income. And that could be a variety of things. We've seen people taking advantage of apps like Uber and Lyft and TaskRabbit, and then more traditional side hustles like dog walking and babysitting, things of that nature.
Would that also include people that maybe go out garage sale, find an item that they can then turn around and sell on eBay or Craigslist or something like that?
I think that is definitely relevant and definitely would fall under the category of a side hustle. People are getting really creative with how they're making money.
And
I guess you guys have really crunched the numbers at bankrate.com on this. 86% of side hustlers do this at least on a monthly basis?
Yes, and we actually found that 61% of younger millennials who have a side hustle do it at least once a week. So they're doing it often, and they're making good money from these second jobs.
Sure. Now, are they doing this, is this kind of an all-cash side hustle, or are they paying taxes on this? Do we know?
We didn't ask that question, but it's definitely worth exploring, and I'm sure it varies case by case.
Oh, I'm sure it does. You know, but you know, that's the key. You know, for people that I would imagine side hustle, I'd be real curious to see what the reporting would be on stuff like that. How much are we talking about per month, money wise?
So we found that 25% of younger millennials who have a side hustle make more than $500 a month. And overall, 36% of people earn more than an additional $500 per month. So we're seeing people making really good money from this. Younger baby boomers actually are the age group most likely pull in at least an extra $1,000 per month. So this isn't just some change from, you know, the lemonade stand. This is actually quite significant.
Well, and when you say younger baby boomers, what age group is that?
That's ages 53 to 62.
Oh, interesting. So $1,000 a month, that's 12 grand a year.
Yep.
That's, you know, and again, if you're not paying taxes on money like that, you know, and you're investing that money away in like a solo K or a Roth IRA or something, you could really build up a sizable amount in a short period of time.
Yes, I would definitely recommend using your money from your side hustle to invest in your future self. So putting it in that 401k or putting it in a savings account where it can serve as an emergency fund. We also found that younger millennials, when I talked with younger millennials for the actual article, I found people telling me that they're using that money to pay down student loan debt, which is obviously a really good use of that cash.
Sarah Berger is with us from Bankrate.com. She's one of the cash lorettes there and writes for Bankrate.com as well. Interesting website, too. You always find interesting things to read here. Getting back to these side hustles and the amount of money that we're talking about, $500 to $1,000 a month, does that break down demographically? Are there more men doing this, more women doing this? Are there political, you know, Democrats versus Republicans? Anything that jumps out at you there?
So we did find some notable data points in terms of what people are doing with that money. We found that about 7 in 10 women say they use the extra money from a side hustle to help pay for living expenses, compared to less than half of men who do the same. And we found that Democrats and independents are nearly twice as likely as Republicans to use additional cash to pay for living expenses. So that was interesting. Don't want to speculate too much on that. But we do know that the wage gap is very real, so that could play a factor in why women are spending that money on living expenses at higher rates than men.
Any particular parts of the country that you see, you know, people maybe doing a side hustle more than other parts of the country?
We didn't find any notable data from that.
Is this
nothing
something
came from that.
That's just kind of popped up here in the last couple of years? Or, you know, I would imagine it's as apps like Uber and Lyft and stuff like that and TaskRabbit have popped up in the last 5 years or so, that's really kind of pushed this trend along, hasn't it?
Yes, I think that people have always been finding ways to make extra money, but I definitely think that technology plays a role in this. And it makes sense that millennials are hustling harder than other generations. They've grown up with social media and the internet, so they've got a firm grasp on how to make money in this gig economy that's really dominated by apps and other on-demand services. So people really use their phones to their advantage.
Well, you know, over the years, I've sold a ton of stuff on Craigslist, and, you know, people always make fun of me. Oh, you're going to meet a serial killer that way. And I've always had really good luck with that. But just in the last year or so, I've focused more on Facebook Marketplace and found that also to be a great place. Did you look at any specific things like that, or are you planning to do that down the road here?
We didn't look at that through this survey. I just know anecdotally a lot of people that do sell things on Craigslist and in Facebook Marketplace. I've actually sold some of my own furniture with an app called OfferUp. So there's definitely other options out there. And, yeah, it's a great way to make some extra money.
I remember years ago there was somebody that created a website of women mainly that were selling like engagement jewelry or rings where, you know, the wedding got called off because of infidelity or whatever else. But they, that site actually, I mean, just exploded. And it was interesting to kind of click through there and look at some of the items and then also the story behind the item for sale.
Right, I'm sure that does sound very interesting.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the website, but you know, this was probably 7-8 years ago at least, and now here we are today, 2017, and the ability to side hustle $500 to $1,000 a month is nothing to sneeze at. When you mentioned earlier, people putting money away for like a rainy day fund or stuff like that, at Bankrate.com, have you kind of looked at, you know, what kind of money people squirrel away or haven't done so and really need to do, you know, to emergency fund, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
Right. So we did find that a lot of younger millennials actually lack an emergency fund, which should have between 4 to 7 months, should have enough money to cover 4 to 7 months worth of expenses in case something happens.
Wow.
So we definitely do recommend using that side hustle money to have an emergency fund, make that your emergency fund. And we have saving account rates on Bankrate.com, so you could try and get as much for your money as you can and take a look at those rates and stash it in a high-yield savings account.
Interesting. Well, you can learn a lot more by checking out Bankrate.com. Sarah Berger with Bankrate.com, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, in the few minutes that we have left here ahead of Al Malmberg on WCCO, Moose Miller in tonight for Jordana Green. Keeping our eyes on the radar, out in Buffalo, they've got a pretty decent little cell. So if you're you know, heading Highway 55, man, Monticello, Annandale, and our friends in Dassel just kind of got some pretty decent rain out that way. Also Litchfield earlier this evening, but there's a, you know, another little cell there that's kind of moving its way eastward. So we're continuing to watch some pretty heavy rain that is continuing to make its way through parts of Cottage Grove and Eagan and Apple Valley on over towards Burnsville, still kind of pushing through, and Hastings down to Red Wing and all the way into parts of Wisconsin. So, you know, we're right on the edge of that ring of fire from earlier today. We were talking about that. Kevin, this is right up your alley. The Beer, Burgers, and Bacon Festival.
Sounds good to me.
WCCO and Canterbury Park present the first ever Beer, Burgers, and Bacon Fest. That's just a great idea. So basically, you're going to have the Bodines live, and there'll be over 50 breweries, 200 unique beers, burgers, and samples. You can get tickets now at CanterburyPark.com. The keyword there would be beer. Pretty easy to figure out. And don't forget tomorrow to tune in at 5 o'clock for our big announcement, a major announcement as to who you're going to be sharing your afternoons with. That'll be just after 5 o'clock, you know, as John Williams has headed back to Chicago. I'll be tuning in there, too, as well. Tomorrow morning, Dave Lee has John Dickerson from Face the Nation at 6:23 to kind of start out your day. We'll check in with CBS World and National News coming up here at the top of the hour. John McCain making news. Earlier this evening, it was announced that he has brain cancer, a glioblastoma. He went in last Friday for a blood clot to be removed above his left eye, but now they're announcing that he has brain cancer in the form of a glioblastoma. Details coming up here on WCCO.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.